This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, Man on the Move with Professor Husband Ginther. This evening, dyslexic poet Billy Seymour reads Dylan Thomas's Fern Hill.
Good evening, I'm Professor Husband Ginther. We're fascinating tonight to hear dyslexic poet Billy Seymour butcher up Dylan Thomas's Josh Gibbons, but it's actually... By the way, you're not the Negro baseball player, are you?
Oh, no, I say not. That's another Josh Gibbons.
Fern Hill is what I'm saying.
Yes, Fern Hill was written by Dylan Thomas basically as a statement on his youthful coming of age, real sexually.
Yes. Well, let's listen in now to Billy Seymour as he carves up Fern Hill.
Now, as I was young...
Right, young.
Young and
You'll notice how he really is just retarded.
Yes, I like the way he sort of haltingly reads the lines.
Easy under the apple boughs, about the lilting house, and happy as the grass was green.
He's now going to attempt the third line, which is a very interesting dingle story.
Yes, listen.
The night above the dingleberry.
I knew he'd carve it up.
Yeah, he butchered it.
The night above the dingle story, sorry. Time let me hail and climb. Golden in the in the heyday. Oh, hell, I can't do it.
That was marvelous, wasn't it? Just given your observation.
Well, again, you're dealing with a very uncompromising artist here. He will not read a poem, a classic poem, written by one of the great classics, without butchering it six ways to sunset, just carving it a new ass. And as you can hear in that butchered-up reading, Dylan Thomas has never sounded worse.
Billy, corn over for a minute.
Right.
Billy, what do you do for a living, besides being writing your own... You write your own poetry?
Right, I wrote one called... Well, here's one that I wrote. It's called My Mother Julia.
You were my ma.
See, he's just an idiot.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening on Man on the Move as Billy Seymour butchers alive Dylan Thomas.
Move me? Mau. Mommy.
We always like to introduce a little bit of the classics into the program. And there it is. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, let's get back to the Los Angeles Magazine article here about...
What, bud?
Mr. Hall. Yeah, let's get back to Phil talking about himself on The Phil Hendry Show.
It's just something that people wanted to know about.
Oh, sure they did, yeah. That's what all you guys say. Well, the audience wanted it.
You done?
I'm done.
Now, getting back here to the... So the top 10, the 25 funniest people in L.A., Los Angeles Magazine had Phil Hendry at number 11. And here's what it said. Heard locally weeknights on Extra Sports 570. Phil Hendry. Get Billy in here, will you?
Hendry
mimics the syntax, idiosyncrasies, and self-importance of radio show callers. On his nationally syndicated The Phil Hendry Show, his impersonations have lured unsuspecting blowhards to join in what has become a living satire of modern talk radio outrage. Number 12 is Andy Kindler. Andy is a stand-up comic. He dissects the failings of contemporary comedy and what is not entertaining about... Oh, why do I want to read about him, right? And then number 13, Julia Sweeney. Now, she is... There's a few people that I would have ranked higher than me. She's one of them. She's fantastic. Julia does a one-woman show now that I've seen twice, and it's brilliant. And you may remember her as It's Pat on Saturday Night Live. And she even deals with it in her show. She talks about the fact that At least in her movie, there was a movie called God Said Ha, but it was actually a one-woman performance that was put on film. But she talked about standing out in the West Hollywood Halloween parade, dressed as Pat, doing the shtick, and being completely embarrassed and feeling pathetic, thinking people were walking by and going, God, I hope that isn't the real actress doing that, because this is pretty sad, standing on the back of a flatbed truck out on Melrose at 11. Then there is number 14, Sacha Baron Cohen. Is that the cat's real name? Ali G? Get him out of here. 13, David Cross and Bob Odenkirk. Those guys are 14, 15. But, yeah.
Can't you even count? Is that how bad you've gotten? Is that how, you're 3 days off, you can't even count?
Right, I've forgotten how to count.
Oh my God, wow.
Number 15, David Cross and Bob Odenkirk. They did the Mr. Show on HBO, which was very good. Now, here's another guy that ought to be ranked higher than me, along with Julia, is Christopher Guest is number 16. Christopher Guest is funnier than hell. He was the guitar player in Spinal Tap. He was also the dude in that Best in Show, that hick, came running out with a bloodhound. I mean, the guy is just, he's funny. Number 17 is Paul Figg.
Fag.
Paul Fag? F-E-I-G.
I think it's, I do believe it's pronounced fag.
Yes, of course you would. Mr. Flag created the spine-tinglingly realistic depiction of his natural milieu with the short-lived cult show Freaks and Geeks. Number 18, Paul Mooney. Here's the guy you were talking about. No, you were talking about Drew something. Anyway, Paul Mooney, a legendary writer in the 70s and 80s, he's now doing a stand-up act touring with a combustible act focused on race relations. Laura Neitlinger is the Dorothy Parker of the alternative comedy scene. Do you know who this gal is? She's been on Saturday Night Live and Will and Grace. Number 20, Johnny Knoxville. What's he doing now? Johnny's doing movies. Directors like John Waters and the Farley Brothers are reshaping the trickster into a movie star. April Winchell is number 21. You guys know April Winchell? I know April from, I worked with her at KFI. She is very funny. Not funnier than me. But I would like to all right, she's funnier than me.
Thank you, I just wanted to get
great. April Winchell is the daughter of Paul Winchell, the guy who had the dummies. I mean, the puppets.
Oh, I thought you were talking about his kids.
No, not talking about his kids. I'm talking about the puppets that he had. And anyway, April is right now, I think, doing a weekend show on another radio station in town. But she's very fun. Does a lot of voiceover stuff. Did some spots for Glendale Savings that were hysterical a few years ago. Number 22, Bruce Eric Kaplan, or B.E.K. What? He was on 6 Feet Under, and he's been a contributor to New Yorker Magazine. Number 23, Michael Hurwitz, creator of The Golden Girls and a co-creator of The Ellen Show, with his latest, the multi-Emmy-winning Arrested Development, his knack for hatching ravishing loony characters is at its peak. Number 24, they list as all of the women on Mad TV. And that would be, for instance, Nicole Sullivan, Mo Collins, Deborah Wilson, Alex Borstein, and Stephanie Weir. Now, here's the thing about Mad TV. I don't watch it because every time I watch it, it ain't funny. I'm not talking about these ladies, but I know a couple of guys used to work on that show. I don't want to mention their names. They were writers and also performers. I would never mention their names.
Dave Herman and Mike Short.
And they just said it sucked beyond words. Writing that show was, in other words, they'd be writing jokes and they'd ask some guy to quit clinking the change in his pocket because they're trying to write comedy. And they can hear the guy, you know, shuffling change from like 60 feet away. And then finally, Eddie Izzard, number 25. You know this guy, Eddie Izzard? Doesn't he dress up as a chick? All them British guys do, don't they? Dividing his time between L.A. and London, Eddie Izzard is a kinetic funny man whose wit and intelligence save him from resorting to profanity and scatological to cop a laugh. What other comedian can cross-dress and not have it be part of or distract from the act? You're right, man. I can't think of anybody. Then why do it? I guess he's a cross-dresser. If it doesn't add to the act and doesn't distract from the act, then that must be just like what he wears. So why don't you just say it? The world's first really funny and completely acceptable transvestite comic. 6 years later, his film Dressed to Kill is still a gutbuster. So there you go. That's 11 through 25 of the funniest people in Los Angeles from Los Angeles Magazine. And I did want to just sort of take the time to talk a whole lot about myself, since, God, we don't do that at all. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be talking a little bit, I think, in a moment with Lloyd Bonafide about Memorial Day and how his Memorial Day went. I know we were doing a Lloyd and RC marathon yesterday. And do we have the Kenny Rogers Memorial Day telethon coming up, bud?
No, everybody took the day off.
So there wasn't a Kenny Rogers Memorial Day telethon?
No.
Why?
Because everyone took the day off.
Then why did he say he was going to have one?
But that's it.
That's his special.
Yeah.
No one shows up because it's a day off.
Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kenny Rogers. I'm having a Memorial Day telethon, and no one will be on it because they're taking a day off.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
They got a caricature, by the way, of Julia Sweeney and Ollie G and Johnny Knoxville that kind of leads off this section. I realize that being in radio, it's a nice honor being number 11. Don't get me wrong. I put it on our website. We're number 11. And it's cool. I'm not going to make it in the top 10. It's never going to happen. You don't want to know why? Because it's a radio show. That's just not... It's impossible, unless you're Howard Stern, who's fought his way into the position that he's in through just sheer determination and also basically baiting the larger industry into recognizing him. I'm not just baiting them, but challenging them. You know, you've got to recognize and deal with me. But, you know, I mean, the guy in Los Angeles, it is very unusual... Extremely unusual to recognize a radio show as being anything other than a purveyor of talk radio PAP, which I call PAP, which is basically just political opinion, or, you know, music, or shtick, which is morning show shtick. And that's the other thing. They put Ryan Seacrest in their least funniest cats. Well, now, wait a second, man. I mean, is he trying to be... Do you think he's trying to be funny? Ryan's not even... He's not even a funny guy. I mean, he does... He's doing, like, that whole... Let's do the gossip thing, like dishing stuff. He's got that little girl on his show who is kind of funny, that wild child bitch. I call her a bitch. I don't mean to. She's 10, but she's still a bitch. You know, if she were my daughter, I'd slap her around. I'm a wild child. You know, that's kind of cool. So they dump all over poor Ryan. Look, that guy is the heir apparent of the Dick Clark thing, whatever that is. He's the man. It went from Dick Clark, that's another guy, Casey Kasem. What, are you going to start crapping all over Casey because he ain't funny? The least funniest guy in L.A., Casey Kasem. Wait a minute. What he did, he kind of picked up where Dick Clark left off, although Dick Clark doesn't really want to leave off, does he? He wants to hold on to it for as long as he can. Hey, Dick, just let go of it. Let Seacrest have it. Go away. Let him do that New Year's thing, please, dear God. Because they're going to have you, if I see you coming out on one of those things you're leaning forward on, now Dick Clark's 843rd New Year's special, and you're coming out leaning forward on one of them aluminum jobs with the, you know, those, you ever seen those kind of busted tennis balls they put on the bottom of them? What's that about? They got tennis balls there. I got a great idea. How about making one that's got a nice, good-looking sort of just shoe on it or foot on it without the guys having to go out and steal tennis balls off the court and jam them on the bottom of those things?
Makes you slide better.
Yeah, well, you can slide better. They could manufacture it that way. Makes you slide better. So that's what old Ryan does. He's just he's the new guy, the guy that presents the popular music of the day. Every generation's got to have one, man. Since TV was invented, oh yeah. After he goes, who knows? But there's always going to be one. At one time, I thought maybe it was going to be me. I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
That's what I wanted to do. Not that I didn't watch American Bandstand. So Ryan's there, but to say the guy's the least funniest guy or one of the least funniest guys is a little nutty. But then again, it's Los Angeles, and who gives a crap what LA Magazine thinks anyway, though I really appreciate the honor. Nobody reads your magazine because we can't get through all the perfume ads. Get out of here. You know, if I go to one more hotel room, and I could be anywhere. I told you last week, I could be in Ogallala, Nebraska. Ogallala. They got a glossy magazine. You ever go to you're in a hotel someplace? I know where we were, Green Bay. We were in Green Bay. I was there with the kids for the ball game. Well, man, I'm sure they had a Green Bay. Yes. And some chick in an evening gown in a farm field. They try to make it look like there's some kind of a nightlife in Green Bay. Yeah, there's a nightlife. It's called the restaurants at Lambeau Field. There's nothing else. And everybody up there knows that. No one's going to diss Green Bay for being a small little freaky burg. That's what it is. It's fine. Monday morning, the place is like a ghost town. There's three fat women having coffee in a saloon zone. That's it. Because everybody leaves town and goes home. Saturday night, one of the greatest towns in America. Sunday afternoon, fantastic. By Sunday night, Monday morning, man, just a tumbleweed just rolling right down Lombardi Avenue. But I swear they got some kind of a magazine there. Green Bay. With a fountain, you know, and they'll show you the homes by some guy with a real gay name. Homes by Jesse. Enjoy the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 bedroom floor plan. Homes by Jesse. This exclusive neighborhood behind gates can be yours in Green Bay Haven or some name. You know, if the place is Green Bay, it'll be like Quail Hollow. If you're in the middle of Palm Springs, it's Jack Rabbit Hutch. So yeah. If you're, say, in San Francisco, Queer Hollow. No, it's something, you know, Golden Gate Love Nests. And then you go in, and they've got the floor plan. And here's what you find out, and all you young couples buying houses, you find this out. You're going to look at a magazine, and they're going to show you, see this? This can be yours. And look at the playroom. Oh, God, Bob. And look at this. It's a teen room, and look, oh, well, when you buy it, you know what you're buying? You're buying a cement bunker complex. That's what you're buying. You're buying cement. You walk in, and it's all cement. You might as well be in a house in Mexico. That's what they do in Mexico. They just build the cement, and then they live in it. Excuse me, do you want to have any carpeting or anything? No, this is fine. How about, like, you know, stove? No, we'll just cook right here, and we'll just build a fire here in the middle of the floor. Now, you'll walk into this place, this Homes by Jesse at Queer Hollow, and you'll buy it for whatever it's going to cost, you know, six figures way up there somewhere, mid to late six figures, maybe early millions, I don't know, wherever you live, and it's going to cost you another 200 grand to stick carpeting in the thing. You see what I'm saying? Now, you just bought a house, Mark, but you bought a house that was built, it was like post-war California house. I'm talking about these new, 50s. I'm talking about these new houses they're building. Would you like to have, you want to have like a countertop? Yeah, I'd like to have, instead of just cutting onions on cement, yes, I would. Okay, that'll be $8 million. Okay. And how about drapes? I guess you're going to want those. Yeah, that'd be a nice idea if I'm walking around nude or something. All right, that'll be another $60 million. By the time you're done, man, you double the price of the house. It's nuts. And the bread they're getting for houses in California, you would take a loaded shotgun, just tuck it up under your chin like that dude in Children of the Damned. Just BAM! They're getting $2-3 million, man, on a lot the size of a postage stamp. And the house is stripped nude bare. And it's got a gate, and it's got a guard shack, and so everybody wants to live there, and they'll pay anything. They'll pay $3-10 million to live in a house with nothing inside of it. It ain't even worth it. Forget it. Don't move here. Let the prices go down. I'll buy all of it up, and then I'll parcel it out to you guys as I see fit. All of my fans are the only ones that I'll sell houses to. We'll all live on the coast. We're taking over the entire coastal area. Excuse me, you listen to the Phil Hendry Show?
No, I don't.
Well, you're not allowed in. Get out. And it'll be all ours, from Carpinteria South. Yeah, sure, that's the ticket. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be back with real estate and how to make big money at it in a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, sir. We're back on the air. Phil Hendry Show. Yes, sir, you're Lloyd, and you're a Korean War veteran. Go ahead.
Well, the point that I'm trying to make, Mr. Hendry, is this. The veterans, that's called Veterans Day. Memorial Day is for the soldiers that have died. And I was talking to a young lady who is the daughter of one of my neighbors. I said, well, what are you going to do? She says, well, we're going to go talk to veterans today because this is Memorial Day. I said, and so I had a little bit of fun, and I said, well, really? You're going to honor the veterans of Memorial Day? And she said, yes. I said, well, guess what? They're dead. And she laughed, and she walked away, and I said, well, I'll be... And, of course, that made me angry when she laughed and walked away.
Well, maybe she thought you were kidding. She didn't understand.
Memorial Day is for the dead. Boy, it really pissed.
What's making you angry, man? I mean, Memorial Day is, I understand, memorialize the men who've died. Men and women have died.
Yes. She said, we're going to go honor the veterans. I said, well, I hope you bring a nose plug because the veterans you're going to be honoring today smell pretty bad. And she said, why? I said, because they've been stuck in a box in the ground for a lot of years, and they probably stink like something that smells.
Well, that's a very nice way of putting it.
Well, sir, I'm trying to tell her that the...
We get it, man. Don't get so wound up about everything.
Veterans Day is for veterans that are alive. Memorial Day
is for the guys that croaked.
Okay, so you're clear?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I just wanted to be clear on that. Because if you're going to go honor a veteran on Memorial Day, he probably smells like seven shades of you-know-what. And
all right. These guys, man, they want to make damn sure. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry. They want to make damn sure they get everything right, you know. Yeah, I get it, okay? It's cool. And not only that, but I'm very happy to be, you know, a part of... I'm very happy to be a part of the entire honoring of our military, both the guys that passed and the guys that are still around. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Great show, as always. I wanted to bring to your attention, Tom Cruise was in the news. Made some rather insulting comments about the psychiatry. Did you happen to see those comments?
No, I did not. Are you a doctor?
I am, yes. And I found them to be a little bit...
What did he say? This is Tom Cruise, the actor?
Yes, Tom Cruise was sounding off, you know, they give a platform to all of these actors, you know, said that he thought that psychiatrists were creating an overly medicated generation of young people, and I thought it was very funny coming from an individual who worships L. Ron Hubbard, you know, and the stupid Mooney Mumbo, the Mumbo Jumbo, you know. So I don't know if you saw those comments.
No, I didn't, but I think you make a good point about Mr. Cruise. You know, the medicating of kids, I suppose overly medicating kids, yeah, bad thing. But these new drugs are really helping a lot of people.
I just think that, and here's a guy that did Minority Report. Oh my Christ!
What his choice of movies?
No, but did you see it?
I saw Minority Report.
What did you think? What did you think about it?
Yeah, you're right. It blew. It was incoherent. I don't know what that whole Max von Sydow character.
Oh, the whole thing blew. It blew on ice. You know. And so,
you know, you talk funny for a doctor. What kind of doctor are you?
I'm a veterinarian. So,
what do you care what he says about psychiatrists?
Well, so in other words, I'm not allowed to say anything? You ever heard of animal behavior? I have to.
You've got to talk to the doggies, huh?
You know what? Screw you.
What kind of doctor are you? I'm a veterinarian. All right, coming back, Earl Pants Car Talk. We're going to be joining Earl in the Middle East, Baghdad, in just a moment on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, why don't you look?
And now, Earl Pants Car Talk, live from the Baghdad Car Show.
Everybody, welcome to our Car Talk program. Everybody, this is Earl Pants, and we are excited to be here in Baghdad for the annual Baghdad Car Show. I'll tell you right now, for my money, there's nothing like American-made automotive products. Nothing like it. But we're over here in Baghdad, in Iraq, because we are trying to show some solidarity with the burgeoning manufacturing sector in Iraq, and that would include, of course, their automobiles. Now, what am I looking at here? Standing with me here, by the way, is Rafsan Johnny, who is Mr. Rafsan Johnny is a member of the Iraqi Council on Manufacturers, sir. What are we looking at here?
Yes, this is a good car. This is, look, what do you want from me?
What, is this French made? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it is, yeah.
See, that's what I'm, boy, as soon as you said that, man, I could feel myself tighten up a little bit. You know, I could feel, in fact, I'd seen a very handsome lady here just moments ago, and I was physically aroused. As soon as you said this is a frog manufactured car, man, it all went away. So I felt myself tighten up and tense up. Tell me about this car.
Well, you can see that it's manufactured primarily in Europe and has Europe stylings. The detail is not quite what it might be in the United States. And here again, we have a problem getting spare parts for these things.
Are you planning on building an automobile that is going... What happened to the crowd?
Well, just something about when you show up, man.
Well, now, I'm real sorry about that. Are you making some kind of a comment about me?
Maybe I am.
All right, well, in any event, so this automobile, frog-made, frog-manufactured, no frog parts. Are you people interested in perhaps getting some American-made things?
No, but the idea is to get them built here in Iraq, so that's what we're, that's what we're looking for.
All right, well, I just don't think you people ever make a car. You want to know why? Because you're Arab. What does that mean? It means you know how to ride around on a freaking camel and how to pump a little bit of oil out of the ground. And we showed you how to do that, how to spend our money on, like, Velcro golf courses and stuff like that, buying a Mercedes Benz. Why don't you just buy a bunch of Mercedes and bug off?
Boy, you're really a pain in the rear end, aren't you?
You bet. All right.
Well, allow me to... why don't you go ahead and take a test drive?
You want me to test drive this?
Sure, it might surprise you.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and test drive this piece of crap they call a car here in Iraq. And, well, I guess I'll see for myself just how nice it is. Let's start it up here. It's funny that... Why, it's a car bomb.
Hey, lots of luck, sucker.
I'll see you in hell. Raghead tricked me.
Yeah, but you know, what kind of a douchebag are you? You get into a car in Baghdad. Oh, yeah, hi, want to take a test drive? What an idiot. Good point.
Car Talk, live from the Baghdad Car Show.
Look like you used to do. How come you treat me like a worn-out shoe? My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue.
Earl Pence Car Talk brought to you by STP Motor Oil. Use STP to clean those carbon deposits from your engine today.
And a long, long while.
And by manufacturers of great American automobiles. People like...
Oh, shoot, I got in the same car.
Damn.
This is Earl Penn's Car Talk. There, okay, now we've got it straight. I am the new host of Earl Penn's Car Talk. I am Iraqi. My name is Mr. Rasamjani. And we'll be talking about... automobiles that I think can certainly be enjoyed by the American people, but made in the Middle East. Let's face it, American workers are lazy slobs and scum. All you know how to do is sit there, eat, and you don't make good cars. The Japs took that whole thing over. How disgraceful. Uh-oh. You may not make good cars, but yeah, okay, you got pretty good weapons.
Be the new host of Earl Pence Car Talk. Because he was my uncle, but he was a bag of D. So I'm personally, I'm going to talk about stuff I want to talk about. I'm a little kid. I want more internet access. I want more Jesus. Too snotty?
You got it.
Why don't you say the thing you used to say? What makes you treat me like a piece of clay? My hair's still
yeah,
curly,
man.
And my eyes are still
Let me tell you what I'm going to talk about. Forget about a car talk. I'm taking over Earl Pence Car Talk. You dig? And you know why? Because we want to talk all about Car Club and everything like that. I'm my brother's got some shorts and rides. Everything that, you know, really cherry up these automobiles. I don't want to talk about some white man car. Oh, damn, man. LAPD, PR24.
This has been The Bit That Never Dies. Tune in tomorrow as this bit just keeps right on going.
We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Park me like he used to do, and say sweet nothing like he used to do. I'm the same old trouble that you've always been through. So why don't you love me like you used to do?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tell you just how miserable we are here at our in our radio studio right now. We're already talking about DirecTV and the NFL season. I mean, that's just how pathetic the entire baseball establishment, which I've long felt needs to be completely overhauled and turned into another sport. So, you know, we're already talking about our DirecTV package. And those guys are not far, those DirecTV guys are not far wrong when they do those commercials. It's almost like you get kind of some sort of a sexual envy. The other guy has, what are you getting, man? You're getting multi-screen stuff? I ain't got that. Newman just paid extra. He's going to get like 10 games on the same screen. And, you know, I think I'm cool because I got, you know, different games on different TVs in the house. I can't wait. That's all there is to it. It's the only thing that I live for, especially now, with the circumstances of my marriage being what they are, living there alone, just walking around in my underwear. You know, it's a funny thing when you're newly single, newly bachelorized, after being with living with a woman for a lot of years. It depends on the guy, but I was always a pig, and I never learned a thing from being married. I've gone right back to being a pig. And by pig, I don't mean dirty. I mean just a guy that will be in his bathrobe till 2. This was me today, in a bathrobe wearing a Cal University of California baseball cap and black socks. Okay? And I'm walking around like that. Hey, how you doing, Bob? Talking to my neighbors. Hey, what's up? You know, and they're looking at me, and of course, I'm wondering what are they staring at? I go out to my car to get something. I'm in a navy blue University of California baseball cap, a white bathrobe, and black socks. Just opening up my car, getting in, getting things out. And then this past weekend, I went up and visited some friends of mine in a place called Pismo Beach. Have you ever heard of Pismo Beach? A lot of people have, because, first of all, the Bugs Bunny cartoons used to make fun of it all the time. Well, I went up there. Man, that's a whole scene up there. It's this middle California coast thing. So what does that mean? It ain't surfing. It's boating, mostly. A lot of boating and jet skiing kind of a thing. And the towns up there like San Luis Obispo, and everybody's local, and they're all like, oh, you go up to San Luis for that. And I go, is there a bookstore anywhere? And I'm thinking, what, Henry, what are you, crazy? The town is a little, what, do you think they got a Target? I go down the road, they had a big freaking outlet mall there. But that was a whole kind of a trip and a half. And it was packed. Memorial weekend, just packed. Now I'm talking to the kid at the desk. I stayed at some, kind of a nice hotel. And the kid says, oh, yeah, you bet. He's one of those guys that loves to tell you and is excited about the fact that there's a lot of business in town. They love to have the tourists because, absolutely, that's what really drives their businesses for the most part. That and real estate, I guess. I mean, you know, what else in the service industry? And, oh, yeah, you bet. Well, car club, that's a car show. That's that. I said, what do you think's the biggest weekend? Memorial weekend? No, one other. 4th of July? No. Labor Day? No, car show. I go, car show, okay. Now, of course, I'm making the guy sound like he's from Wisconsin. Why does everybody... He's a California guy, so he's just like, no, car show. I don't know what he sounded like, but... I said, car show, huh? 500,000 people. I'm thinking, bull crap. In this burg, 500,000? So what they have is, one weekend a year, it's car show weekend. Now, this is like a California thing, so they're all a bunch of really lowered rods... And the real cherried out old two-tone jobs.
This isn't Darth Hall. This is R.C. Collins. I just wanted to say that what you're talking about are beaner mobiles. Okay, so you can't get a...
They're not beaner mobiles. They happen to be their car club.
No, they're beaner wagons. And people like you try to make it sound like it's not. By the way, you did say Rod, so I am speaking on behalf of Mr. Hall. Clean up your act. Clean it up now. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm R.C. Collins. Out!
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.